Hey there, friends. It's Nick. Quick podcast today. You know, I've been doing a lot of work over the past 3 weeks. At least a lot. I've been working hard for me. And I'm getting a bit tired, I think. My brain's been getting a bit tired. And one of the dumb things I do when I'm feeling a bit, maybe a bit tired or maybe a bit uninspired, is I go outside and I look at something really closely. Like something tiny. It might be a leaf or a twig or a blade of grass. In other words, I pay ridiculous, insane amounts of attention to something for, you know, 2 or 3 minutes. And I think this was inspired years and years ago when I read, what would it have been, one of the Richard Feynman memoirs. Might have been Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman. I can't remember, honestly. But he talked about his dad when he was young. And his dad saying to him, explaining to him really that a lot of people thought that knowing the name of something, like that's a sycamore tree, for example, that knowing the same of something was the same as understanding something. But of course, there's a massive difference between being able to name something and understanding how it works. And of course, Richard Feynman, my favourite scientist, everyone's favourite scientist, I think, probably, is, you know, he was a master of going deeper, of understanding the actual how things worked, how the world worked, rather than just, you know, what it was. And for me, you know, there's this weird thing that happens when I look at something really closely. It's a way of kind of hacking my attention, hacking my inspiration, hacking my creativity. Because when you really look, you know, we all know what grass is, we know the name of it. But when you really look at a particular blade of grass for a couple of minutes, you, of course, start to see the extraordinary work of sort of natural engineering that it is. And today, I didn't sleep well last night. And today I've just been feeling a little bit tired and a little bit not on my game. So I was outside looking for something to look at, really, on my way back from the cottage office. And lo and behold, it's ant flying day here in Hampshire. Now, you may have heard I think it's an urban myth, actually, that all these flying ants across the country, they all take off at once. That's not true. It happens in different times and different, through the summer, it happens in different places, you know, depending on the weather and the temperature and what have you. But today, when I was feeling a little bit kind of down and looking for something to look at, we suddenly had this kind of wave of silver over parts of the garden as all the flying ants, you know, prepare to take off. And I remember the first time I saw this properly, it was probably 20 years ago when we first moved in, and thinking, oh my God, we've got a plague. There's a plague of ants. But of course, they almost all go at the same time. And it's an extraordinary thing. I mean, from what I understand, these are the colonies got big enough that there are new queen ants flying off to find males from other colonies and taking some of her males with her, who really don't survive long. You know, they're just out there because in case they bump into a queen from another colony. And at the point where the queen can be fertilised by several males, their job is done and she'll go off and I think she chews her own wings off. Extraordinary. Chews her own wings off, digs a hole, and then starts laying eggs. And in fact, that one, she'll spend the rest of her life essentially underground. And ants in the wild can, you know, queen ants can live for like 15 years. It's extraordinary. And I think what I've read in the past is that in captivity, they can live for almost 30 years, which is, think about it, it's amazing really for an insect. But the point is that the sex that she had on her flying day will allow her to lay fertilised eggs for the rest of her life, which is pretty extraordinary, really, and pretty amazing. And I think until, you know, then she's obviously growing a new colony, and when that gets to whatever 10,000 ants or something, then the process starts again, and we get this new wave of flying things in the garden. And funnily enough, I'm looking out the window now and I can see these little gales, these little gusts of silver wings as they take off and go in search of new mates. Or for most of them, I mean, I think the male ants who fly, in contrast to the long-lived queen, only live about a week. They have 5 days sort of getting ready, getting their wings polished and what have you. They fly off, and then if nothing happens, well, whether they find a mate or not, they've got a day or two at most to live, which is pretty extraordinary, really. And yeah, it makes me feel quite lucky, and hopefully you too. Anyway, I just needed that something to kind of, you know, maybe you can hear it in my voice. I just got excited. I just got interested in something. And I've said before, when I'm not feeling motivated, when I'm not feeling inspired, curiosity and kind of wonder and awe is somewhere that I can usually go and find some energy. And I found it just sitting here looking at these ants, thinking about the extraordinary journey that they're on, has given me that. Anyway, that's it for now. Not such a short podcast as I thought. But remember, your story means business. If you want to dig deeper into the stuff that I do, search online for story.business. Bye now.